very much so today. And so we'll be continuing on in the book of Daniel in chapter 2 and verse 19 and through 23 is where I really would like to focus most of our time today. We've gone through the beginning of Daniel and found out how Daniel ended up in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, how Daniel ended up as a wise man, per se, as a basically advisor to the king. But we also saw that Daniel wasn't one of the top picked ones as far as he wasn't really truly a Babylonian. He was still an exile from Judah. And we also have seen how that parallels with Christ and how Daniel is really like a type of Christ coming from the tribe of Judah to save his people. And as we continue to study here, we've seen that Daniel has been through, Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, have been through some really, really difficult times. Times in which we can't even really begin to fathom unless your parents have been killed probably in front of you and you've been ripped out of the place in which you resided and drugged to a foreign land and made to learn pagan ways and then serve under a pagan king. Most of us can't really relate to that, but Daniel has a lot to say to us. The book of Daniel really teaches us about God and who God is. This morning I'd like to really narrow it down to just praise to God the Almighty. And that may sound familiar. That may be a familiar tune to many of us. But we'll begin reading in Daniel chapter 2, and we'll jump back a few verses just so we can kind of catch up and see with where we're at. The king has had a dream. The king had a dream, and the dream troubled the king. And it troubled him so much that he called all of the wise men in before him and said, "Hey, somebody please interpret this dream. Tell me what this dream means." And then nobody could interpret it. Nobody could provide an interpretation. And that's where verse 17 picks up this morning. And after the order had been given, the king, to kill all the wise men, Daniel was one of those, and so were his friends. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, and ordered that they might request compassion from God, the God of heaven, concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belong to Him, and it is He who changes the times and the seasons, and He removes kings and establishes kings, and gives wisdom to wise men, and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and the hidden things, and He who knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To Thee, O God, and my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For Thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now Thou hast made known to me what we requested of Thee. For Thou hast made known to us the king's matter." Therefore Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and spoke to him as follows. And Daniel said, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke with him as follows. "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream in which I have seen and its interpretation?" And Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners were able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king, to King Nebuchadnezzar, what will take place in the latter days. This is what your dream and your visions, what you dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. And as for you, O king, while on your bed, the thoughts turn to what will take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind." this morning I really want our focus to be on this, as we look at this passage, on really praising God and why we should praise God. I made reference to the song, Praise Ye the Lord Almighty, earlier. Praise to the Lord Almighty. It was written by a German man, Joachim Neander. The song proclaims of God's greatness and His goodness and salvation. And Joachim Neander was born in 1650. His father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and his great-great-grandfather, all Joachim Neanders, had been preachers of the gospel of Christ. But as a student, Joachim was wild and rebellious, and at age 20, he joined a group of students who descended on St. Martin's Church in Bremen to ridicule and scoff the worshipers. But the sermon that day by Reverend Theodore Underuk arrested him and led to his conversion. And a few years later, he was the assistant preacher in that same church. Joachim often took long walks near his home in Hochdale, Germany. And they were worship walks, as he called them. And he frequently composed hymns as he strolled through the countryside, singing them to the Lord. And he was the first true hymn writer with the Calvinistic branch of Protestantism. And when he was 30 years old, the year in which he died, he wrote this song, Praise Ye the Lord Almighty. Praise ye the Lord Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. Joachim Neander had many reasons to praise God, and I'd like to say this morning, so do we. As you've heard some of the teaching, as you've heard preaching either from Bob or Jim here in the last few weeks, we often point to the fact on who God is, God's sovereignty. For a matter of fact, the name of this church is Sovereign Grace. God is in control of everything. What greater reason to praise Him? We need to praise God in all things. This morning we have recorded in Daniel praises from Daniel and praises from his friends. They had a great reason to praise Him. God is worthy of our praise in the depths of our distress and in the middle of our sorrows. In the midst of the greatest joy, God still deserves our praise. And Daniel really illustrates that to us this morning in this passage. And it really highlights the theme of Daniel, which God is in control of all things and is the source of all wisdom. The first thing I want us to notice here, what Daniel has recorded for us, is God must be blessed. Blessed means, according to Webster, to be made holy or set apart. We all know that God is holy. There's no unrighteousness in Him. The word blessed in Hebrew, Barak, as I probably pronounced that wrong, I'm sure. I'm no Hebrew expert. Means to kneel or to bless God as an action of adoration. To kneel, to humble ourselves and to bless God for what He's done for us. And in verse 20 we see that the name of God is to be blessed forever and ever. Psalms 103 verses 1 through 22 also highlights this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes with the wind. And when the wind has passed over it, it is no more. And its place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, and to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Daniel is saying that we are to bless the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed forever and ever. Christians must desire that the name of the Lord be blessed forever and ever. We must understand that his name will be blessed forever and ever. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 11 says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those that are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And Daniel's life, as we've looked at that, does exhibit a life that truly desires to see God's name praised forever and ever. In spite of the circumstances in which he encountered, God was to be praised. Whether I was killed because the dream was not interpreted, whether we know on down the road that his friends were thrown into the fiery furnace, whether he was thrown into the lion's den, God's name was to be praised. We must ask ourselves, how do we live? Do our lives show that we desire his name to be blessed? And we need to know that in all circumstances, his name is to be praised. We need, I remind you, as the situation in which Daniel finds himself in, God is to be blessed. Yahweh, the God of Israel, his name is to be blessed. When time ends and into eternity, we see God is to be blessed. God is wisdom. God is wisdom. God is truly the source of wisdom. And if we continue on and we look at verse 20 here this morning, we'll see. And what Daniel acknowledges here is wisdom from God. For God is wisdom, the true source of wisdom. And wisdom and power belong to him in verse 20. It belongs to him and is his to give. No one can take wisdom from God. It must be given by God. Wisdom and power are his, is what the King James says. They're his. God is wisdom. God is might. And when we think of that, and if we really process that, God is wisdom, then what do we have to worry about? And what do our fears rest? When we serve an all-knowing, an almighty God. And whom should we fear? He is power, and he is wisdom. The wisdom of God is, as Job says in Job chapter 28, verses 12 and 28. "But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, 'It is not in me,' and the sea says, 'It is not with me.' Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Glass or gold cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystals are not to be mentioned. An acquisition of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abiding in death says, with the ears we have heard a report of it. God understands its ways, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Job really records also for us where wisdom can be found. And is summed up there in the last verse. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Daniel knew where wisdom was to be found. And it was found in the very beginning of this passage with blessed be the Lord. Kneeling, humbling ourselves before God, and acknowledging God is in control of everything. Psalms 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments, and his praise endures forever. Wisdom begins with revering God, the adoration of God. Starting at a humble place of acknowledging God, you truly know nothing outside of God. He holds all wisdom. Verse 21 of Daniel 2 says, he gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Wisdom only comes from God. Just as he appoints kings and tears down kings and created this earth, God gives out wisdom and understanding. Wisdom comes from God. In God is the power of knowing. Understanding is the idea of discernment, as one separates truth from lies, and God pours that out to those who trust in him. So if God gives us the ability to understand truth, then he is the revealer of truth. So we see that God is to be blessed, and God is wisdom. We also need to look at God is power. I'll just spend a little bit on that also this morning. God is power. And if we continue on there in verse 20, we see that wisdom and power belong to him. Power and might are his. God is power. Looking back, what we've seen happen at the life of Daniel as he's been ripped from his family, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were torn from their family, probably made into eunuchs, made to serve a pagan king, made to learn pagan ways. God is still all-powerful. God is the Almighty. God is still in control, even when things do not go how we want them to go. God is all-powerful. God has placed the government before us in verse 21. It says he removes kings and establishes kings. Daniel acknowledges that right now. And sometimes when things don't go our way, when we look at politics and things that go on around us, we have to remember that the governments in which are above us have been placed there because of God. Whether the local city governments, whether the state governments, whether the federal governments, they have been placed there by God. God is all-powerful. He never loses control. Even when things don't go how we plan it, God is still God, and he is still all-powerful. God is power, and Daniel acknowledges that here in this passage. God is the sovereign king over all, and Daniel is acknowledging that in his praise to God. God controls times. As we continue on in this passage, it says that, and he who changes the times and the seasons, he removes kings and establishes kings. God controls times, meaning history, his story. I like studying history because so often you see God's hand in it. And so often we're reminded of the frailty of humanity when we look at history. God controls humanity. God controls everything that goes on. As I read the story of Joachim Neander, he died at age 30. I mean, many of us may be past age 30, but can you imagine that? A young man, faithful to serve the Lord, writing even a song in the last few days of his life that is still a hymn that's sung in many churches today, that sings of God's greatness and God's glory. God is the writer of history. He is the one who controls it. Past, present, and future, He controls all. As Dr. Bob shared with us this morning, I just thought about the weather in which he encountered in Nebraska and the floods and all the stuff going on in throughout the world. We think of weather, hurricanes, tropical storms this time of year. We think of snowstorms in the winter. We think of all the stuff that goes on, the seasons that change, the seasons that come and go, fall. You know, we see beauty in spring. We see the white in the winter. Some people find beauty in that, right? And you see the brown in the summer in Wyoming. But you see all the changes of seasons. God is in control. God controls all that goes on around us. The time, the seasons. God is in control. And the seasons and the weather's not out of the reach of God. He controls it all. God is the Almighty and powerful King, and He reigns. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17 says, "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things have been created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." God's Word really teaches us who He is. And as we really focus on praising God, and as we look at that and think about that this morning, what greater thing? We serve a God who knows all, who is all-powerful. What a great God we serve. We're going to encounter tough times. We enjoy it when things go great. But life doesn't always go the way we want it to. But God never changes. He is the Creator and He is the Sustainer. Blessed be His name forever and worthy to be praised. The fourth thing I want us to notice this morning is that God is light. We've seen that God is to be blessed, and we see that God is wisdom. God is power. And I'd like us to look here that God is light. And in verse 22, we have recorded here that it says, "And He who reveals the profound and hidden things, and He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him." It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things, and He who knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in Him. Light in dark places obviously reveal things in which we can't see in the darkness. Things which only He knows, and He may reveal. Hidden things, the Bible tells us. Means that they were either concealed or hidden in the first place. Things that we cannot understand. He is the revealer of truth. We often ask, and I know so many times in our life we ask, why would God do that? Why would God, even in this passage, hide maybe a dream from Nebuchadnezzar? Why would He hide things from Daniel up to this point of now He's revealed them? Why would He do that? But ultimately, the answer to those questions is that God will and is to be praised. As we know, as the book of Daniel, hopefully many of us have read that, we see that Nebuchadnezzar will eventually praise God and that people will be drawn to God. We must remember that God has a purpose and a plan and that all things are His to hide or reveal. And as we continue in Daniel, and I know as we continue to look at Daniel and I look ahead, and as I somewhat hesitant to look at the prophecy aspects of Daniel and some of the stuff that can be tough to understand. I have to remember, and we all have to remember, that God has revealed certain things to us, and God has hidden certain things from us, which we may not ever understand this side of heaven. But we must know that He is the light, and in darkness He reveals things that cannot be seen. God holds the key to unlock all understanding, all wisdom. He's all powerful, and He knows what we can't see. And to me, that's comforting to know that God knows that I don't know what tomorrow holds. I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen when I get on the interstate and head back home. None of us do. But God does. God knows things in which we don't. And I thank the Lord for that. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because God holds tomorrow. And we must place our trust in God daily and acknowledge that He is in complete control. How easy it is. I stand before you this morning. How easy it is to be distracted by so many things. To be caught up in worrying about maybe finances, or to be caught up in worrying about your kids. Worrying about what could happen to them, or am I doing the right thing? But how great it is to know that we serve a God who knows all things, who holds all things in His hands, and He has a plan. And we need to place our trust in Him daily and acknowledge that He is in complete control. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 says, "This is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin." In verse 22 of Daniel, light represents or means the illuminator. God is the true illuminator. He is the one who lights the path. He is the illuminator of sin. He's the revealer of truth and all understanding. And it really puts it in perspective to think that God is the one that does the work in someone's life to draw someone to salvation. God is the one who brings conviction of sin. God is the one who does the work to bring about true repentance in someone's life. And God is the one who saves. God gives discernment and wisdom. And that's reason to praise Him this morning. We are to praise Him because we cannot save ourselves. Only God can save. God reveals and seals us unto salvation. And Daniel ends this passage in verse 23, and it says, "To Thee, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for Thou hast given me wisdom and power. Even now Thou hast made known to me what we requested of Thee, for Thou hast made known to us the king's matter." And God did in Daniel's life, and I just want us to stop there this morning as we think about that. Daniel's praising God because, hey, I get to live another day. Hey, we get to live another day. I'm thankful to the Lord for doing that. But you know, the greatest thing I think about as we think about that is when we encounter hard times or death. I mean, we just fear death, it seems like. In our culture, in our society, we are so concerned about what's going to happen. But the greatest thing God can do for us is save our souls. And that's reason enough to praise Him this morning. We often pray for those who are suffering, and I think it's great things. I mean, you got Vision Beyond Borders represented, people that travel all over the world, people that have, look at the big picture too. There's people suffering right now as we speak for their faith, physically. There are people that are dying right now as we speak, physically, for their faith in Christ. And we pray for them to be saved so often, you know. Bring them out of those tough times. Bring them out of there. But yet they seem to have an understanding of true salvation. This body's going to rot. This body can be destroyed. But my soul will be saved. And as Daniel praised God for his salvation, we too are to praise God for our salvation. Daniel was physically saved from death because of God's mercy. And as we think about that, Daniel and his friends gathered together, and the Bible says that they prayed and they sought compassion from God. They sought mercy from God. And God answered Daniel's prayers. And God didn't answer his prayers because of his worth, because of the effort in which Daniel prayed, or because of Daniel's importance in that culture or that society. He didn't answer it because he had worked hard and written this really nice prayer. God answered his prayer because he was merciful. And we serve a merciful God. A merciful God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to take our penalty and what we deserved for our sins, and he died on the cross. God is merciful for us sinners. And as we think about prayer, I was reminded as I prepared for this of an old preacher that some of you may be familiar with, J. Vernon McGee. I don't know if he's still on the radio, but when I was growing up, J. Vernon McGee was a familiar sound, I should say, in my family. He's got a one-of-a-kind voice, if you've ever heard him before. But I was reminded of something that J. Vernon McGee said, and he said, to pray in Jesus' name simply means that we come to God, not on our own merit, but on His merit, looking to Him for mercy. And as we seek God, and as we pray, we need to be reminded that He answers our prayer because of His mercy. And we need to praise Him because of His mercy, His power, His wisdom. That it's not of myself, but it's of God. And what greater reasons to praise Him this morning. And as we just briefly go over the closing portion of this passage that leads up to the dream and the interpretation that's going to be given to the king through Daniel, we continue to see Daniel and then Arioch, who was the one appointed by the king to come kill all of these wise men of Babylon. But we had seen before in the last passage in verse 14 there that Arioch was obviously probably a little hesitant to follow out with these orders. He didn't want to kill them. Daniel didn't want to see these men killed. And so they rush in before the king to stop the massacre before it starts. Through God's mercy, people were saved. And just make note once again that Daniel was in exile, so he wasn't the first one to be chosen by the king. So he was kind of left out the first time the king brought in his advisors. Daniel was left to the side, and he was in exile from the tribe of Judah. Just always make note of that, the line of Judah. God used Daniel to save many. God had given Daniel an audience with the king. And when he was obviously left out that first time, he was given another chance to speak before the king of Babylon. And this further illustrates the truth that the ways of man are not the ways of God. Because everybody could have been killed, but God had a plan. God can take the foolish things of the world and confound the wise. And that's what happens here and occurs in verse 25 and 26 with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar doubts Daniel, and he questions Daniel again to see if he's capable of providing the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar's question to Daniel in verse 26 says, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I've seen and its own interpretation?" Because you know what? Everybody before had come before me. All these other people had came before me, and they said, "No way. You're asking something in which I can't answer." And this is my favorite part of the scripture. I really love it. And of course, Daniel knows here that he's completely incapable of answering the king. He can't answer the king. He can't interpret the dream. But there is a God in heaven who knows all. And Daniel's always pointing the king and others to God. Daniel answered before the king and said in verse 27, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, nor conjurers, nor magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king." And in verse 28, it says, However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to the king what will take place in the latter days. And this was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed." Daniel always continues to acknowledge God in all things because he has a grasp where wisdom comes from, who's all-powerful, and who is in control. Because I can say this before the king and know that no matter what happens, ultimately, my salvation will come. No matter what the king does to this body, my salvation lies in the creator and the sustainer of this universe. And verse 30 says, "But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind." Nebuchadnezzar had some worries there, and God was using Daniel, really the least of these, the last person somebody's going to choose, God uses him. Because I just think there briefly, if you were Nebuchadnezzar, all of a sudden you find yourself in charge of one of the greatest kingdoms in the world. The greatest kingdom on earth at that time, the kingdom of Babylon, and the kingdom that was filled with splendor and glory. And we don't have pictures or really anything to see of that. There's paintings and things that have been passed down through history. But it was filled with splendor and glory. And here Nebuchadnezzar was, "What's going to happen when I die? Or what's going to happen in another 5 years? Do I trust the people around me? Because, you know what, I've already ordered all the wise men to be killed." So often, we get caught up in concerns about our kingdom, the one in which we reside in, whether it's America or the things that go on around us. We get caught up in the events that are going on right around us. But there is a God in heaven, a God in whose kingdom will always stand, and whose kingdom will last forever. And as believers, we belong to that kingdom. But you see, Nebuchadnezzar didn't have that promise. And he was concerned, and God was going to answer Nebuchadnezzar's concern in the dream. Nebuchadnezzar's dream was God's answer to his problem. And God reaches down and reveals to Nebuchadnezzar that he knows what's going to happen. He knows what the kingdom's going to look like in the future. God is going to teach Nebuchadnezzar who the true king of all really is. And God's revelation to Daniel was not for Daniel's praise, but for God's praise. To really illustrate to us today that no matter how big you think you are, God is bigger. No matter how difficult a circumstance you're going through, God is in control. God is in control. And as we'll continue on through the book of Daniel, we'll get into the dream and its interpretation, and we'll begin to look at some of this, and a reminder that God's kingdom will last forever, and God's kingdom will stand. So this morning we've seen that God is to be blessed in all things, and God is wisdom, God is power, and God is light, and He's in control of absolutely everything that goes on around us. In whom shall we fear? In whom shall we fear? And the question this morning is, whom do you place your trust? Whom do you place your trust? Closing thoughts this morning as I close here. Things in which I want us to focus on as we think about praising God, and as we think about all the things in which God has done for us, we should praise God for prayer. Praise God for prayer and the mercies found in answers. The ability to pray and talk to God. Once again, the creator, the sustainer of this universe. We can pray through the sacrifice in which Jesus has made. Our intercessor who pleads our case before the Heavenly Father. We're to praise God for wisdom. Praise God for wisdom and the fact that we can know the true source of wisdom. Pure wisdom that comes only from God. Just a little thought there. As I hiked last year up in the mountains, I think the closer you get up the mountains to all the snow melt, the purer the water seems to be, to the point in which you can drink it, melting right off the snow. And the further you get from it, you end up in KC area, which is where we live, and you wouldn't want to drink the Powder River, I assure you. But true wisdom comes from God, and it is pure wisdom, straight from the source. And it's contained directly in God's Word, and we are to praise Him for that this morning. Praise God for His power, that He's almighty, that He is mighty to save. Praise God that He's in charge of things and we don't have to worry about it. Praise God this morning for that. In all things, we are to praise Him. We are to praise God that He's reached down and brought salvation to us, to undeserving people, sinful people. God reached down to save us. And we need to understand that the greatest salvation is not the salvation of the body, but the salvation of the soul. Praise the Lord this morning. And if I could, I would like to do something a little different, and I don't usually do this, but page 8 in your hymnals this morning, in lieu of what we've talked about this morning, I would like to close with a song, and it's a song in which we all are familiar with, hopefully. If not, you're going to be familiar with it this morning. Page 8 in your hymnal. Praise to the Lord Almighty. And I'll just get us started and we'll just sing the verses. I'm not a song leader. I know Bob is. If you want to come up here, great. And I would like to close with that song this morning.